Amen. Now please get your Bibles and turn them to the book of Psalms. And we will read Psalm 119, verses 65 down to 72. Let's read God's Word. Psalm 119, reading from verse 65 down to verse 72. The psalmist says, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. For I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me. But I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." May the Lord add His divine blessing to the reading of His holy word. If you are a believer in Christ, you are enrolled in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that school, Jesus is your teacher and your principal. And one of the subjects that you have to take in that school is the subject called affliction. It is through this subject of affliction that God teaches us many lessons. And here in our text, we meet a student of God, a psalmist, who has learned a remarkable lesson through affliction. Look at verse 71, please. He says, and this is the lesson that he has learned in that school of affliction. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." And so with that in mind, I entitled this message, "Good to be Afflicted." And there are two things that we shall be considering in this message. First, we want to look at the realization of this psalmist. And then secondly, his request. So the realization of this psalmist and the request of this psalmist. So first of all, let's look at his realization. So what is his realization? Now, first of all, look at verse 65. So he says here, "You have dealt well with your servant." So here's his realization that the Lord, his God, has dealt well with him. Now in Hebrew, verse 65 literally reads this way, "Good you did with your servant." Now, of course, that's grammatically incorrect for us who speak English. "Good you did with your servant." But in Hebrew, the reason why the word "good" comes first is because the psalmist wants to put emphasis on the word "good." He really wants to tell us that the Lord is good that even in the midst of his affliction, and again, this is his realization, this God whom he serves is good. He only does good. In fact, he says here that the Lord has dealt well with him. And then look at now verse 68. Verse 68. Again, he says, you are good and do good. Wow, what a realization. Now, how many of us have come to that realization when God allows us to go through this fire of affliction? Let's think of the global crisis that we are experiencing right now. Here in the U.S., there's a lot going on here right now. Not to mention the COVID-19. Now, how many of you did honestly say that in the midst of this pandemic, I know the Lord is good, that He only does good to me, that I know that even this coronavirus is for my good, that I know that this crisis that we are experiencing, not only as a nation, but as a world, this is a manifestation of His goodness. Or maybe some of us have started questioning God's goodness. Maybe some of us have said, if not vocally, maybe silently within your hearts, Lord, if you are good, why did you do this to us? If you are good, why did you claim thousands of lives with this coronavirus? If you are good, oh Lord, why is it that we are in chaos right now here in the U.S.? Where are you, Lord? You see, when we are in the midst of affliction, suffering, trial, trouble, crisis, pandemic, let's admit, it is not always easy to see God's goodness in our lives. But here the psalmist makes this remarkable realization. You have dealt well with your servant. You are good, and you only do good to me. Yes, even when you afflicted me, O God, I know that that came to me as an act of your goodness. After all, David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now think about that. David says, surely, certainly, we should not doubt this, that God's goodness and His mercy shall follow us, not just sometimes, not just some of the days of our lives, but all the days of our lives. In other words, since this COVID-19 broke out, we know that God's goodness has been there, following you and following me. Although again, sometimes we don't always see His goodness, right? Especially when God afflicts us. Just like boys and girls, I have a question for you. Listen now, please. You know very well that when you disobey your parents, your dad, or if dad is not home, your mom will discipline you, will spank you. You know that very well. And you deserve that spanking because of your disobedience. Now, how many of you children came back to your father, for instance, and said to your father, Daddy, I know you are good. I know you have been good to me since I was born. And I know that even when you spank me, when you discipline me, you remain good. And therefore, I want to thank you, Daddy, for spanking me. How many of your children have said that? No. Sometimes you think that your daddy does not love you, right? You don't love me. That's why you spank me. You hate me. No, it's the opposite, children. The fact that your parents discipline you means that they actually care for you. They love you. And the same is true with our God. He is so good that He will discipline us whenever we disobey Him. Now, we want to ask the psalmist, okay, psalmist, you have this beautiful realization that God is good, that He only does good. Why did you say that? What is good about affliction? Well, look at verse 67, please. So the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. So what is good about this affliction? Well, first of all, in the case of this psalmist, God used this affliction to bring him back to God's presence. In Hebrew, the word astray indicates that the psalmist departed from the presence of God. And so he went astray. He departed from the presence of God. Picture the prodigal son who departed from his loving father. He left his father. That's precisely what this psalmist did. And mind you, he was a covenant child. This psalmist was a covenant child of God, and yet he left, he forsook his God, and went on his way. You could imagine that during this time when he was away from God, he stopped praying to God. He stopped reading God's word. He stopped going to the temple of the Lord to worship God. And so now this covenant child of God became worldly. He became materialistic. He became indifferent to God. He didn't want to have anything to do with God. He left God. Maybe at one point in your life you did that. You left God. You went astray. But look what God did to this psalmist. God afflicted him. And so he says in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Which implies when God afflicted him, that was when he returned to God. Because God utilized that affliction to bring him back to the fold, to God's presence. Now, in Hebrew, the word afflicted could also be translated as chastened or humbled or put down. So when the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, that means before God put me down or humbled me or chastened me, I went astray. So you could imagine that perhaps before, this psalmist was too proud of his physical power. Maybe he thought of himself as invincible. Maybe he was in good shape physically. And therefore, he did not see the need of God in his life. I'm healthy. I don't need you, Lord. And so what God did, He afflicted him. Perhaps God gave him sickness. He got sick. Or maybe this psalmist, before he was afflicted, he was too proud of his material possessions. He was wealthy. And as you know, when generally people who are rich, they don't see the need of God. I don't need to pray to the Lord for my daily need. I have plenty of food. I have money in my bank account. Even if I don't work for 2 years, I can survive in this world. I don't need you, Lord. So what did God do? God afflicted this psalmist. God perhaps took his possessions away from him. Or maybe you could imagine too that before he was afflicted, this psalmist was too proud of his position in the society. Maybe he was well respected in the society. But God says, God humbled him. God afflicted him. God put him down. He lost that privilege in the society. And God did it for one reason, to bring him back to himself. To bring him back to himself. And that's why the psalmist could say now, it was really good for me that I was afflicted. Because before I was afflicted, I went astray. May I ask you this question? Are you suffering this morning? Maybe you are sitting here, silently sitting there, but deep within you, you are being hurt. Deep within you, you have a burden. Deep within you, there is pain, affliction, suffering. Maybe mental suffering. Maybe you are suffering from depression or anxiety or panic attack. Or maybe physical pain, affliction, pain in your body that people outside you or around you don't always see or notice. Maybe there is brokenness in your family. Maybe you and your spouse, there's something there between the two of you. You know it well. Or maybe between you and your children. Well, if you are a child of God, I have good news for you. Whatever you have is for your good. God wants to get your attention back to Him. Come to Him and make this same declaration that God is good, that He only does good to me. One of my favorite writers is John Bunyan, the famous author of the Pilgrim's Progress. He once said, "In times of affliction, we commonly meet with the sweetest experiences of the love of God." And how true that is, right? In times of affliction, we commonly meet with the sweetest experiences of the love of God. When I was pursuing my Master of Theology degree at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, I did my thesis on John Bunyan. In fact, that thesis was eventually published. And so I had the opportunity to study his life, and really, John Bunyan's life was marked by great suffering. At the age of 15, he lost his mother and sister. At the age of 30, he lost his wife. One of his children was blind. And as you know, he was imprisoned for preaching the gospel because he was preaching without a license from the state. He was imprisoned for nearly 12 years. And yet, by the grace of God, it was through his affliction that he came to appreciate more the grace of God in his life. In his life. And how true that is. When is it that you come to appreciate more the grace and mercy and love and goodness of God in your life? Isn't it when we are in the midst of our great trial in this life? Right? When is it that you enjoy communing with God? Isn't it that when you are by yourself in the hospital bed, when you cannot walk, when you cannot even use your cell phone and pick up the phone to make phone calls, you are so weak that the only thing that you can do is talk to God in prayer. And there you see that God is good. He remains good. That's the realization of this psalmist. And so what is good about this affliction? Well, God used this affliction to bring him back to God's presence. But I want to add this also, that God used the affliction to bring him back not only to God's presence, but also to God's Word, to the very Word of God. Look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now, you see that contrast? But now, I keep your Word. I keep your Word. Now I care about your Word. Before, I did not care about your Word. I did not care about the preaching of the gospel. Now, I listen carefully. As I worship God, I value every single word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, I pay attention to it. Verse 69. Look at verse 69, please. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. The term precepts simply means the word of God. Now I want to keep your word with my whole heart. Wow. With my whole heart. Now I love the word of God. Before I loved money, before all I cared about was money, how to become rich, how to become famous in this world. But now I love the word of God. Verse 70. Their heart, referring to the wicked's heart, is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. Now I enjoy reading your word. I don't get bored anymore. There is so much joy when I open your word, O God. Wow. And so affliction is like a rod that a shepherd uses to bring back his wandering sheep and to keep us on the right track. And so again, this psalmist makes this wonderful realization. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Now, by the way, the word good here in verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, the word good could also be translated as beneficial or profitable. So you can say this, it is beneficial, it is profitable for me that I have been afflicted. And by implication, what the psalmist is saying is this, that God's affliction, this affliction that God has given to me is profitable. It benefits me. Now, how many of us view our suffering as profitable? I'll be honest now. How many of us? How many of us have viewed COVID-19 as beneficial to our soul? How many of us? Recently, I was talking to a good friend from the Philippines, although she went here before the lockdown, And so she's been here since, I think, March. She really wanted to, she and her son, they really wanted to go back home, but they couldn't because of the whole issue of COVID-19, security, and what have you. But anyway, so she said to me, she's a solid believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, you know, Pastor Brian, she said to me, one of the blessings of this pandemic, this COVID-19, is that it gave me time to read the Bible from cover to cover. I could not recall the last time I read the Bible, like the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Could you recall the last time you finished reading the entire Bible? This is the Word of God. We're talking about the Word of God. And so she said to me, I thank God for this coronavirus because it gave me the blessing of reading the Word of God. Because when, during the quarantine, as you know, right? Was it in March or April? We were all scared. We could not go. You could not work unless you had to. But many of us had to stay home. What did you do? How did you spend your time during those days? See, affliction can be beneficial, profitable to us. It was good for me, the psalmist says, that I have been afflicted. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, said, the furnace of affliction is a good place for you, Christian. It benefits you. It helps you become more like Christ. And it is fitting you for heaven. It helps you become more like Christ. Well, for us believers, we know, right, why the Lord is allowing us to experience this crisis. He wants us to become more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have this beautiful promise from God's Word, Romans 8:28 and 29. All things, without exception, including this pandemic, all things, including the political issues that we're facing right now in the U.S., all things, without exception, work together for our good. And the word good there is defined by our conformity to the image of Jesus Christ in verse 29. And so really whatever happens to us, yes, affliction, trial, you name it, this is all for our conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's how we view affliction in this life, then we can echo what the psalmist says here in verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Not bad, but good. Now quickly, let's go to my second point, his request. So we saw his realization. His request, verse 66. This is his request from the Lord. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Wow. Look at his humility here. Look at his teachableness here. Before he was afflicted, he was too proud of himself that he would not dare ask God to teach him. Let's confess, by nature we are not teachable, right? We are not teachable. Children are not teachable. But again, parents, as we discipline our children, really we see our own selves before God, right? We say, how come that you are so stubborn? I have told you many times that you should not do this and that. You are not teachable. Wait a minute. I think I just described myself before God because I'm like that. God has told me many times in His Word not to do this and that, but I'm not teachable. But now here we see the psalmist. Because God broke his pride into pieces through affliction. Now his request is this, Lord, teach me. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. Teach me what? Well, two things. First of all, teach me good judgment, verse 66. Or teach me discernment. That is the ability to know good from evil. Lord, give me a mind that is capable of distinguishing that which is right from that which is wrong. And believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what we need today. We need to have good judgment. We need to have discernment. We need to have the ability to distinguish what is morally wrong from what is morally right. Especially what's going on around us. So, there is so much confusion to the point that we don't know who is telling the truth. We don't know which one to embrace, to believe. We need good judgment. And then he says, teach me knowledge or wisdom that comes from your word. Verse 68. Look at verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Lord, teach me your word. Parents, you know, it's scary what's going on. I'm saying it broadly. I wish I could be more detailed. But you know what I mean with what's going on in our nation. It's scary. The brainwashing. And you sometimes wonder what kind of future our children will have. 10 years from now, 15 years from now, they will be going to colleges, universities. What kind of professors they will have. Well, parents, this is when we need to gear our children up with the Word of God. We need to teach them because this is what they will use against Satan, against the devil. And the reason why the psalmist is asking God, and by the way, this is interesting because the psalmist could have said, Lord, I want you to make me the most famous person here in Israel or give me strength. No, his request from God is this, give me spiritual discernment. Give me knowledge. Now, why? You know why? Because verse 69 says, the proud, who are the proud? The wicked, the ungodly. The ungodly have forged a lie against me. You see, there are two schools in this world. The school of God, the school of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our teacher. He is our principal. This is where you have the truth that will set you free. But there is another school, the school of Satan. The students are called wicked, ungodly. And what they do, they spread a lie against us. Because Satan is the father of all lie. That's what Satan is doing. And so the psalmist says, Lord, please teach me, give me spiritual discernment because there are many wicked out there. And I confess, it's not always easy for me to discern your truth, to see which one is really true and not true. And then look at verse 70, how the psalmist describes the wicked. Their heart is as fat as grease. What does it mean? Well, it's a figure of speech, which means the wicked are insensitive to the truth. Their heart is as fat as grease. You know, boys and girls, when your heart is covered with grease, with fat, it's not able to feel. It's not sensitive to God's word. It's so fat, it's so thick that God's truth cannot penetrate it. And that's why you sometimes wonder Even if you have this plain truth in front of them, they still don't get it. Have you had that experience? Chatting with an unbeliever, with a wicked, and you explain as you using words that even a child can understand. You try to explain the message of the gospel. You try to explain what God says in His Word, and still this wicked, ungodly person cannot get it. And it's like, don't you get it? Well, don't be surprised, because the Bible says the heart of that wicked is as fat as grease, so thick that even the Word of God cannot penetrate it. And so, Lord, teach me, teach me. Give me wisdom. May I ask you with love this morning, is that your prayer also to the Lord? When was the last time you asked God to give you spiritual discernment? When was the last time you said to the Lord, Lord, please teach me, give me wisdom. I'm so confused right now. I don't know what to believe. The experts say this. And then those who are using common sense say this. Lord, I'm confused. Give me discernment, O God. Now, as I end this message, if you are an unbeliever this morning, if you are without Jesus Christ, you will experience affliction, suffering in this world. But that affliction will not come to you from a tender, loving, merciful God, but from an angry, angry God. There is a big difference between an unbeliever and believer. When God afflicts an unbeliever, He does so not out of love, not as a father, but as King, as Lord, as God. Because He doesn't have a relationship, intimate relationship with that ungodly person. Because that person has no Christ. And so when that ungodly experiences God's suffering, punishment, affliction, it comes to him without love, but with all wrath, holy wrath of God. And it's just a foretaste of what this wicked person will experience once he goes to hell, if he doesn't repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Now, for us believers, whenever God afflicts us, we know that it comes, that affliction comes to us with love from our Heavenly Father. That's the difference. Really, it's not a punishment, as one writer said. This is so beautiful. Listen to this, please. Through the satisfaction of Christ for our sin, the very nature of affliction is changed with regard to believers. As death, which was at first the wages of sin, is now a bed of rest. So afflictions are not the rod of God's anger, but the gentle medicine of a tender Father. A gentle medicine. It's medicinal. It will cure you, that affliction. It will help you. It will clean you. It will cleanse you from your sin. And let me end with this illustration. We have four small kids, the youngest being 2 years old. So she can feed herself now, but she makes a mess. And so at the end of our supper, for instance, as a good father will do, you will clean your child, right? The face, mess especially, let's say ice cream or whatever it is. So you want to clean. You take a piece of cloth, wet piece of cloth, but that child sometimes will resist my effort to clean her face. And so she will act like this. No, 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 don't clean. So again, as a father, I'm not going to give up. I want to really clean her. And so I will clean. And then sometimes she will complain. Oh, that's owie, 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 owie. Oh, it's not really my fault. Because you're refusing to allow me to clean you. If only you can sit still and just allow daddy to clean you gently. You know, daddy will clean you gently. But it is when you refuse. That's when you get hurt. What a picture too. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want you to look dirty. Sin, that's a dirt. You have sin in your life. I have sin in my life. God wants to clean us. And guess what? Sometimes He uses affliction to clean your soul. But sometimes too, we don't want God to clean us. And so we, what? Refuse, just like my child. And guess what happens? You get hurt and hurt and hurt. And may I tell you, you will not win. Because God will not want you to face His Son someday with an unclean face. So God the Father will make sure that when Jesus comes again, you will be pure. You will be clean. You will be without blame and blemish. And God cleanses us. He purifies us through affliction. And once we get it, once we understand affliction in that way, then we can indeed say with the psalmist, if that's the case, then it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, may I encourage you, whatever trials we have, it's for our good. It is good. Let's all say it. It is good for us that God gave us COVID-19. We may not see right away all the benefits, but God is good. Let us pray.